Today's shiur will be Mesichta Sanhedrin, Daf Vov, but we will start towards the end of Daf Hei Amud Bei, 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara says, Gufe, here is the goof of the thing that we discussed before, we had mentioned earlier a few blocks before. Like Omar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Beis Shadonu, if two people judged, Dineihem Din, their Din is considered a Din, their Psak is a Psak. Elosh Nikra Bezn Chutz, but it is called a Bezn of Chutzpah. And the Stoista says this doesn't only mean two. The same thing would be if one person judged. But according to Shmuel, the Din would be a Din, just that it would be called a Chutzpah. The reason the Gemara mentions Shnaim is to tell us that even if two do it, still it is a Chutzpah. But Lepeil, the same Din applies to one. And the Gemara says, Yosef Reb Nachman v'komer l'hoshmaita. Reb Nachman was sitting and was repeating this din. Eisvei Rava l'Reb Nachman. Rava asked the kasha to Reb Nachman. We learned later on in the Mishnah, it says, Afilu shnayim mezakin u'shnayim mechayvim. Even if out of the three people of the Bezdin, two say that he is innocent, or two say that he is guilty, ve'echad oimer eini yedeya, and one, the third one, says, I don't know. You add to the dayonim, if two say one way and the other one says the other way, then we follow the majority. But if the third one says I don't know, then you have to add to the dayonim. But the question is, if it is true that two people who pass can a din, but the evid the din is a din, let it be like two people who pass can, if two say zakai or two say chayiv, why is it that you have to add another person, another dayon? Why don't we say, leave it the way it is, and let's follow what these two say. The third one says he doesn't know, so automatically he falls out. But b'di'evit, if two people paskin, it's also good. So let this be considered as if two people paskin. So he answered, shiny host and there is different, that l'chatchila, when they sat down to paskin, they sat down as three. So they had in mind that this should be a din Torah paskin by three. So therefore, if one says, I don't know, you must add another one in order to have three, because that's what they had in mind when they sat down. But Hoche here, when he said the din, that two people who paskin, but yeah, the din is a din, lava died to the tlosa yisiva. They didn't sit down in order, in mind, to have three people. The chatchila they sat down with two. So then it is good. Then the Gemara says, Eisvei, I will ask you a kasha. We learn the braise. The Bshimim ben Gamliel loimer. The Bshimim ben Gamliel says, Hadin bishloisho. When you pass a din, you must have three people. O pshoro bishnayim. But if you're going to make a pshoro, which is an arbitration, and you're going to make a settlement, so then two people are enough. The yofe koyach pshoro mikoyach hadin. The pshoro, a settlement through arbitration, is stronger, has a stronger koyach than a din itself. Sheshnayim shedonu, if two people paskin the din, balei dinin yecholim lazerben. The two balei dinin, the two people involved, could change their mind. They don't have to accept the psak din given by those two people who paskin. But sheshnayim she'asu pshara, but if two people made a pshara, if two people made a settlement, ein balei dinin yecholim lazerben. So then the two balei dinin cannot change their mind afterwards. So here we see that if two people paskin, the din is not a din. Only by a settlement we say that if two people do it, then the settlement is a settlement that must be accepted. But not by a din. So that's a kasha Shmuel who says that if two people paskin, the din is a din. You might say, that Rabbonin argue against Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. This is only the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. But the Rabbonin argue, and they would say that even by a din, if two people paskin, b'di'evet the din is a din, but you can't say that because ba'omer Reb Avuah, didn't Reb Avuah say shnayim shedonu l'divrei hakol ein dinayim din, that if two people paskin a din, according to everybody, the din is not a din. But even according to those that say that by a pshara, by a settlement, you do not have to have three, but when it comes to a din, if you paskin not through a settlement but through a real din, everyone agrees that you must have three and two is not enough. So here we see that the Shimon Gamliel's opinion is accepted by everybody, and the Rabbanan do not argue on the Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara says, Gavre agavre karami. You're asking from one person to the other. Who said that the Rabbanan don't argue on the Shimon Gamliel, and everyone agrees that by a din, if two people paskin, the din is not a din? The Bavua said that. So what kind of kasha do you have from Ravua and Shmuel? The Ravua could hold that the Rabbanan agree with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, but Shmuel will hold that the Rabbanan argue on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. It's only his own opinion that if two people paskin, the Balei Dinim could still change their mind because it's not a din, but the Rachamim, they argue on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and they would hold that if two people paskin, the din is a din. But Tosfos asks the kasha, that what does he mean when he says that Pshara is stronger than din? That by din, if two people paskin, the Balei Dinim still could change their mind. By Pshara, they cannot change their mind. L'chaura, by Pshara, the only reason they can't change their mind and they must accept the settlement is because they l'chatchil accepted it. Because you can't just force a settlement upon them. If they agree to make a settlement, so then after the people who are judging it come to a settlement, they must accept it. Because l'chatchil, they were mekabel upon themselves to make the settlement. If that is the case, so by a din, the same thing. If they would have accepted the two people, the paskin, the din, then also they would have to accept their psak din. The only reason why we say that if two people paskin a din, they could change their mind, they don't have to accept it, is because they were not mekabel upon themselves to listen to them. But if they would have been mekabel upon themselves to listen to them, even by a din, they would have to. And by a pshara the same. The only reason that they must listen to the pshara is because they accepted upon themselves. So where do we see that pshara is stronger than din? In that case, where they must accept the pshara, a similar case, by din, they would also have to accept. If they were makabal upon themselves to listen to their din, even if they're two, they would have to accept. So Taishta says what he means is, in a case, for instance, when they came to two people and they said to them, you paskan us as it is customary to paskan a din. Or they said to them, you make a pshara, make a settlement with us as it is customary to make a pshara. So in this case, in the case of a pshara, since they said, we accept upon ourselves that you should make a pshara, as it is the custom. So after they come with a pshara, they must accept it. But if the same thing would happen by a din, they don't have to accept it. Since they said, I want you to paskin as it is customary to paskin, and since it is customary to paskin with three, so then when the two come with the psak din, they don't have to listen. So this is the case where we see that din is not as strong as pshara. Then the Gemara continues, gufa, here is the goof of the thing that we mentioned before. Omer Rabavua, Rabavua said, Shnaim Shedonu Dinim Omenes, if two people paskund a monetary din, that Divra Hakel, according to everybody, ain't Dinei and Din. The din is not a din, even those that hold that by Pshara, two is enough, but by a din, it is not enough. The Gemara says, Eisver Rabavua, 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 Sakashad Rabavua, we learned, Donis Adin, if one person paskund the din, and this person was not a mumche, because a mumche is different. But here we're talking in a case where he was not a mumche. Because at the end of this din, it says clearly, im hoye mumche, the din is different. So obviously the beginning is not talking about a mumche. So we're speaking about an individual who was not a mumche, who paskin the din, the ziko es achayiv, and the one that really was supposed to be guilty, he made him innocent, the chiyiv es azakai, and the one that was supposed to be innocent, he made him guilty, or timei es atoher, something that was supposed to be toher, he made it tomei, Tier es atomei, or something that was supposed to be tomei, he made it toed. Mashe osa osi. What he did is done. The din that he paskent is a din. Umishalom ebeisei. But he has to pay from his house, from his own money, for the laws that he caused. So we see clearly that even though he is one, nevertheless his din is a din. So how could Reb Avua say that everyone agrees that by a din, then you must have three, and if two did it, it's not enough. Certainly if one. So the Gemara answers, that here we're talking in a case, the kibluhu alayu, that they accepted upon him. When we say that even if one paskant, who was not a mumche, nevertheless, his din is a din, is if the bali dinim accepted him upon them. And therefore, since they accepted to do as he will paskant, his psak din is valid. But the Gemara asks, if so, amai mishalim ibeisoi, why does he have to pay from his house? If they accepted upon himself his psak din, and even if it's a mistake, he shouldn't have to pay the money. Because they said that they're going to listen to what he says. So the Gemara answers, the Omrulay, the case is when they said to him, Dainislon din Torah, we accept you to paskun to us, but according to the din of the Torah. Now since he made a mistake, it is not the din of the Torah, and therefore he is responsible to pay. But nevertheless, the din he paskuns is a din, because they, generally speaking, did accept him to be their dayan, their judge, and therefore the din is a din. Omer Safar Rababit, Safra said to Rababit, the Torbemai, what was his mistake? When we say if he made a mistake, he has to pay, what kind of mistake did he make? Elaim, if you're going to say the Torbid Var Mishneh, that he made a mistake in a din, which is a clear, open Mishneh, and he paskened a din against what the Mishneh says. But Omer of Sheisha, didn't of Sheisha say, Omer of Asa, in the name of Rav Asa, Torbid Var Mishneh Choyzer. And if a person paskens and makes a mistake in a clear din of a Mishneh, the whole din goes back. It's not the pshat, the din is a din. But if there is any loss, he has to pay. The whole judgment is a mistake, and you have to redo the whole thing, because since it's such an open thing, it's not even considered a mistake. That we should say it's something which is valid, but with a mistake. It's a chatchila not valid. Elo, therefore, we must say the Torah b'shikul adar, that his mistake was not in the open Mishneh, but in the judgment of his mind. He was supposed to judge it and compare it in a certain way to a certain deen, and he made a mistake in the way he judged the case. Now, hey, chedama b'shikul adas. What do we mean he made a mistake in shikul adas, in his estimation of his mind? Amar Rapapa said, kegay, for instance, trei tanoi, there's a din in which we have an argument between two tanoi. Or trei amaroi, or two amaroi. The pliya hadodi, they're arguing, we didn't learn clearly the halacha, not like one nor like the other, but sugi and the alma, ali b'dechad minayu. The general sugya, the general trend of the dinim, of the dayonim, is like one of the two. But va'ozal iyo, he went, va'ovet ki iduch, he did like the other, hainu shikul adas. That is called a mistake in shikul adas. And this is a case where he would have to pay. Because the one that he was mezake, that he said was innocent, you can't change now and tell him, you pay the money. Because he will say that you paskin, that I am right, I don't have to pay. And we don't find anywhere that the halacha is like the other Tana, like the other Amira, and since you paskin, I was right, therefore I don't have to pay. So they can't force him to pay. On the other hand, the one that lost the money could say, but after all, since the general trend is according to the other opinion, so I should be right, so why should I have lost the money? So they make the judge, the dayan himself, that he should pay for the mistake that he made. Then the Gemara continues, lei meki tanoi, let us say that there is a machloikis between Tanoim, that this machloikis is between Shmuel and Reb Avuah, whether two people that pass on the din, if it's b'dieved the din or not, is really a machloikis between Tanoim, because we learned, b'tzua b'shloisha divrei Reb Meir, the Meir holds that when you come to make a settlement, a pshara, you have to have three people, b'chachomim oimim, pshara b'yochid, the chachomim say that to make a pshara is enough one person. So the Talmidim of the Yeshiva thought that l'kul alma makshinen pshara ladin, that everyone holds of this rule that we compare how many people we need to make a settlement to how many people we need for a din. And the same amount of people we need for a din, we need for a pshara. Everyone holds that. When we say everyone, we only refer to these two, the Meir and the Chachamim. It doesn't mean everyone all over. Because one thing is for sure, that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel definitely doesn't hold that. Because we learned before that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said clearly, Hadin b'shloisho pshara b'shnayim. That for a din you need three, and for a pshara it's enough too. So when the Gemara says here that l'chatchila they thought that everyone holds that a pshara has the same din as a din, it definitely doesn't refer to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So what we mean here is that the Meir and the Chachamim, who argue whether you need three or one is enough, these two definitely hold that a pshara is like a din. The same amount we need for a din, we need for a pshara. And what is the machloikis? My la b'hoikim ifligeh, don't you think that the machloikis isn't this? The marsova din b'shloisha. The mayor holds that a din needs three people. And therefore, since everyone holds a pshara is like a din, so a pshara also needs three people. That's why he said pshara is b'tzua b'shloisha. Umar Sovar and the Chachamim hold din bishnayim, that a din is enough two, or one. So since we compare a pshara to a din, so just like by a din one is enough for two, so two by a pshara one is enough. So according to that, if this is true, the machloikis between the Meir and the Chachamim is not really concerning how many people you need by a pshara, but really how many people you need by din. And according to the Meir, you need three, and according to the Rabbanan, two or one is enough. So it comes out that the machloikis between Shmuel and Reb Avuah really is a machloikis between the Meir and the Chachamim. Shmuel holds that two is enough or one is enough, and the Bavua holds that everyone agrees that you must have three by a din. And the Gemara says, "Loi, no, the kula alma b'emes, everyone holds din b'shloisha. Could be that everyone holds that for a din you need three, Here, the machloikis is as follows. The mar sovar, one holds makshinim pshara ledin. That we do compare a pshara to a din. The mayor holds that we compare the settlement to a din. So just like by a din, you have to have three. By a settlement, you also have to have three. Omar sovar and chachamim hold, loy makshinim pshara ledin. That we do not compare a pshara to a din, and therefore, even though by a din you have to have three, by a pshara you do not have to have three. Now, what should be the svara? Why we should think that we should compare pshara to din? So Rashi says, and he quotes from the Gemara on Omid Beis, where it brings the pasuk, by he David oise mishpat tzedakah. The David did mishpat and tzedakah. Mishpat means judgment, and tzedakah means righteousness. Now, how do these two fit? That means that he made a pshara. A pshara, when you make a settlement, you have both. It's judgment and righteousness. On one hand, it's judgment, but it's also righteousness. Because otherwise, if you go according to the din, then for one person it's good, for the other person it's not. But if you make a settlement, it's good for both. So we see that this pasuk is speaking about a settlement, and nevertheless, the pasuk says mishpat tzedakah, it compares it to mishpat. So that means that we should compare settlement of pshara to mishpat. That's the reason why the Gemara says we should makshinen pshara ledin, compare the settlement to the din. But Tosfos says that we cannot say that the Gemara svara here is based on that pasuk, because later on we find a machloikis. The Tanna Kama says, Kishem sha'adin b'shloisho, kach b'tzua b'shloisho. That just like a din has to have three people, so a pshara must have three people too. So obviously, that Tanna holds that we compare pshara to din. That's why he says that just like din needs three, pshara also needs three. Now later on, in the same Braisa we find, that the Bishua ben Korcho learns out from this pasuk, Vayehi David oise mishpat utdoko, that it's a mitzvah to make a pshara. Now, since this is the opinion of Rabbi Shua ben Korcho, it comes out from the Braise that the Tanna Kama argues on Rabbi Shua ben Korcho. He holds that it's not a mitzvah to make a pshara. Now, since he doesn't hold it's a mitzvah to make a pshara, obviously he doesn't darshan the posik by he David oise mishpat tzedaka. Because if he would darshan that posik, he would also admit that it's a mitzvah. Because if it's called tzedaka, it's a mitzvah to do tzedaka. Since the Tanna that we mentioned before that says that just like a din is bishloisha, kach bitzua bishloisha, does not hold it's a mitzvah, obviously, he doesn't darshan the posik by he David oise mishpat. Now, according to Rashi, who says that the reason we compare pshara to din is based on this posik by he David oise mishpat tzedaka, but in that braisa later we see that the Tanna Kama, who holds that we do compare pshara to din, nevertheless, doesn't darshan the posik by he David oise mishpat tzedaka. So we see that it's not from this posik that we learn how to compare pshara to din, but we compare it with seichel, that since a din must have three, so too a pshara, but it's not based on this pasuk. And Tosfos adds, we also can't say that it comes from the other pasuk, where it says, emes u'mishpat sholem, as the Gemara will bring later, for the same reason, because if we would darshan the pasuk, then we should hold it's a mitzvah to make a pshara. And since the Tanna Kama doesn't hold it's a mitzvah to make a pshara, obviously it doesn't darshan that pasuk. And nevertheless, that Tanna holds that we compare pshara to din. So obviously it's not based on this pasuk. Another thing that's important to note here is that even if we hold Nakshin and Pshara Ladin, that we compare the settlement to a din, it doesn't mean, Taisa says, that concerning all the dinim, a Pshara will have the same din as a din. It's only concerning the amount of people you have to judge it, but not concerning other dinim. For instance, by a din, the din is when you have three dayonim sit down, so then you paskin according to the majority. If two out of the three go with one opinion, then you follow their opinion. But concerning a pshara, the din is not so. That you must have a unanimous opinion. They all must hold the same way. So it comes out that even if we hold that makshin and pshara le din, it doesn't mean that concerning everything. It is only concerning the amount of people you have to judge the din to be the dayonim. Then the Gemara continues. Leime, let us say, tlose tanoyim b'pshara, that there are three tanoyim concerning pshara. Three opinions among the tanoyim of how many judges you must have by a settlement. The Mar Sovar Bishloisha. Rav Meir, we mentioned before, holds you must have three people. Umar Sovar and one holds Bishnayim. That is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel that we brought in the previous Braise, where he says clearly, Hadin Bishloisha, Pshara Bishnayim. So he holds two people. Umar Sovar and the Chachomim of the second Braise, they hold Biyachim. That one is enough to make a Pshara. And the Gemara says, Omer Rav Acha Brei de Ravike. Rav Acha Brei de Ravike said, Vitehme Rav Yemer Basalmiye. Others say it was Rabbi Yemir Bashalmi that said that Behemes man do omar trei afilu chad nam, that the one that says two, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, really he holds that one is also enough. The Haide Kovak today, and the reason he says that you have to have two, in order that they should be witnesses. To be witnesses that this is the pshara, the settlement they came to, so that's why you have to have two. Omer Rav Asher said, Shema Mino, we understand from here that pshara ain't tzricha kinyan. That you don't have to make a kinyan when you are ready to make a pshara. You don't have to do the act of acquisition in order to be meshabed yourself, to give yourself over to accept the pshara. How does he know that? If you're going to say that when a person or the tutav balidin agree for a settlement, they must make a kinyan, so then, laman da omar, tzrichat losa, according to the one that holds, that you need three people by a pshara, normally, why do you need three? Tizge betray should be enough too, for liknim and they make a kinyan. Really, what is a pshara settlement? That he agrees that even if he is not sure that he owes the money, he agrees to make a settlement and come to some agreement. That is as if he is meichel his part. Now why do we have to have three people as a bezin? Anytime a person gives up a certain right he has, and he makes a kinyan that he agrees to it, automatically that is valid. So here too, why should you have to have three people in the form of a bezin? Why shouldn't two be enough? And these two will be like witnesses. And he will make a kinyan, and he will make a kinyan. So then they both agree to give in, even if it is not so. And that should be enough. Because when the two dayonim will come up with a settlement, and they agreed to follow the settlement, so they agreed to be meichel, to give in, even if they are right. So that should be enough. Why should you have to have three people? Now, since we say that you have to have three people, according to this opinion, obviously, a pshara does need a kinyan. So since there is no kinyan made, so as far as the mechila itself, the fact that they're giving in, that's not enough, because they could later change their mind. As long as you don't make a kinyan, you could change your mind. So if you have three people, then they cannot change their mind because it has a din of a bezin. So from this opinion that says that you have to have three people to the pshara, that proves that by a pshara you don't have to have a kinyan, because if you would have to have a kinyan, then you wouldn't need a bezin at all. The kinyan itself would make it valid that they're giving in to do as they will say. But the Gemara says, the Hilchas HaLacha is pshara tzricha kinyan. The pshara does need a kinyan, even if you have three people. Nevertheless, in order that that pshara should be valid, then you have to follow the pshara, you must make a kinyan. And here in the Rishonim we have a great discussion, starting from Tosfos, whether we have a raya from this Gemara that mechila tzricha kinyan. That if a person is meichel to somebody else, a chayv, a loan, or whatever it should be, whether he has to make a kinyan for his mechila to be valid or not. And the whole discussion is, since in this Gemara we say that if he would make a kinyan, you wouldn't need three, because you are meichel, so automatically your kinyan makes your mechila valid. Why do you need three? So it seems as if the Gemara is saying that for mechila you have to have a kinyan. And there's a whole discussion here whether we have a raya in this Gemara or there is no raya in this Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Rabbanan learned, Kishem Shadin Bishloisho, Kach Bitua Bishloisho. The Tanu says that just like a din needs three people, so does Bitua, which means a pshara settlement, also needs three people. Nigmar Adin, but after the din was over, after the verdict was given, then you're already not allowed to make a settlement. And Asher says, as we know that what is Gmar Din? Gmar Din means when the Bezdin comes out with a verdict and the Bezdin says, Ish Pleini Ata Zakai, you person are innocent, Ish Pleini Ata Chayiv, you person, you are guilty. So if they said that statement already, then you can't go back and make a settlement. This is the way Rasha learns Pshat in the words of the Gemara, Nigmar Hadin, Iyatar Ashoy Lutzoya. And Tosfos says, from the Loshon of the Gemara, it's like a mashma like that. Nigmar Hadin, when it says the din was finished, this is actually what we usually mean. The din is over when the Bezdin says, Ish Ploy Niyata Zakai, Ish Ploy Niyata Chayas. But still, Tosfos asks, what's the Havamin in the Gemara that we could have made a settlement? If after the Psak Din was given already, certainly you cannot make a settlement. But the Doichek Tosfos says, we could have said, that maybe the Bezdin could say to them, we taka gave you the verdict, but maybe we made a mistake. So therefore, maybe you still want to make a settlement. And the chiddush of the Tana is that after the verdict was given, you cannot make a settlement. But still, that shot is hard, so therefore Tosfos learns that here in the Gemara, Nigmar Adin doesn't mean actually that they gave the verdict, but it only means that in the mind of the Dayonim, they already had the verdict made up. That in their mind, they already see that this person is right, and this person is wrong, but they still didn't say Ish Plon Yata Zaka, Ish Plon Yata Chayev. So here, since already in their mind it is clear that this person is right, they have no right to suggest a settlement. Because we have to assume that the one that really would have come out Zaka, would have come out innocent according to the way they have in their mind, had he known that in their mind he already had made up that he is innocent, if he would know that, he definitely wouldn't agree to the settlement. So it's like a settlement with a mistake, betoyes. So therefore, the dini, that after they already know the din, even though they didn't say it yet, you shouldn't, you're not allowed to make a settlement. But according to Rashi, this only applies after they already came out with the verdict. But nevertheless, Taisa says, that is for sure, that if the psak din is that one of them has to give a shvua, then definitely you still could suggest a settlement, because in order to avoid a shvua, we always do everything we can, and therefore you're also allowed to suggest a settlement. Then the Gemara continues, says, you're not allowed to make a settlement. Any dayan who does make a settlement, he is a sinner. It's an aver. And anybody who praises the one that made the settlement, so he's like cursing. It's like cursing Hashem. He's cursing instead of benching. That's what the pasuk means. If someone benches the Boitseya, and here Boitseya means a settlement, if someone benches, blesses the one that made the settlement, really is Niyat Hashem. Really he is cursing Hashem. Ella, what should be? Yaakov Hadin Sahar. The din should cut through the mountain. That you have to stick to the din, and the way the din is, that's the way you have to pass him. Shanama, because the Pasuk says, Ka Mishpat Lulikimhu. The Mishpat, the judgment is to Hashem. And therefore you must follow judgment. And whatever the din is, that's how you go. That's what Moshe used to say. He used to say, Yaakov Adin Sahar, let the din cut through the mountain, and we have to follow the din. Aval Aron, but his brother Aron, he was different. Oyev Shalom, he loved peace. But Oyev Shalom, he used to run after peace. Umeisim Shalom, et Adam Lachaveiroi. He used to make peace between a man and his friend. Shenema, the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk concerning Aron, because in the same place in Malachi, the Pasuk says, Kisisei Koyen Yishmeru Das, the lips of the Koyen would guard the das. So we're talking about Aron the Kohen. So there it says that Toiras emes hoisa b'fiu, the true Torah was in his mouth. The avlo lo nimsa b'sfasov, no avlo, no crookedness was found in his lips. B'sholoim u'b'misher holach iti, with peace and straightness he went with me. B'rabim heishiv me'oven, and a lot he turned away from sins, from Averis. So Aron, what he did was he tried to make peace. But as Toisa says, the reason why he was allowed to do it, even according to this man the Omer, that you're not allowed to make a settlement, was because he wasn't the judge. The judge, the Dayan, is not allowed to, but say, he's supposed to stick to the Mishpat. But before you get to the judge, so then if a person wants to see that they make a settlement among themselves, that's very good, and that's what Aron did. Since Moshe was the judge, so Aron went to them before they went to Moshe the Dayan, and he saw that they should make a settlement among themselves. Rebbe Lazar says that the pasuk that he quoted, from where he sees that if you praise a person who makes a settlement, really you're cursing Hashem, the pasuk doesn't apply to that. The pasuk applies to something else. Hareish goes also shochitim, if a person stole a saw of wheat, the tochna, and he grounded, but also and he baked it, the hifishim and the chal. After he baked it, he took off chal, the part that you take off, which is holy, and you give it to the kohen. Ketzad mevarech, how could he make a bracha? If he makes a bracha on that challah, ain't them a varech elamanayit. Really, he's not blessing Hashem, he's cursing Hashem. Val zen emen, and this the pasuk says, O baitseya beirech niyet Hashem. He translates the word baitseya from the word gzeila, because baitseya could mean stealing. But he says, O baitseya, if someone steals beirech, and then he blesses, niyet Hashem, really he curses Hashem. The reason why he gives the example of somebody stealing wheat and grinding it and baking it and taking off challah after he baked it, B'chure, you take off challah before you bake. Reason he says that he stole it and ground it and baked it and took off challah, even though the right time to take off challah is before you bake it, while it's still dough, so Tosfos says, because there are certain things which you don't take off challah till after you bake it. As the Gemara says in Psochim, Daf Lamed Zayin, Atzuvgenin ve'adufshenin ve'iskritin, then if you bake it in the ilfes, you're chayiv, if you bake it in the sun, you're potter. So there you have to wait to see after you bake it whether you're chayiv b'challah or not. So since certain things are not chayiv, challah, till after you bake it, on the other hand, even those things that you have to take off challah while it's dough. If you didn't do it, but you have it, you could take it off after you baked it. That's why he gives the example of taking off challah after it was baked. Meir says, that when the Pasuk says, Boitzeya Berech Niyetz Hashem, really it refers to Yehuda. Shenemar, because it says in the Torah, Vayoyim Yehuda Alecho, Yehuda said to his brothers, Ma Betza, what will we gain, Kinare Gesachinu, if we will kill our brother. It was when they threw Yosef into the pit, and then the group of Yishmaelim passed by. So Yehuda said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill him? Let us sell him. So the Torah uses the Loshon Ma Betza, that Yehuda said, Ma Betza Kinare Gesachinu. Betza really means money, but it means what money will we gain if we will kill our brother. So this pasuk by Tseya Beirich Niyetz Hashem, which is from the same Loshon as Betza, refers to Yehuda. That the pasuk is saying, V'chol Hamavorech Es Yehuda, anybody who blesses Yehuda, Harezeh Menayet, he is cursing. Well, then Nemeran, and this it says, by Tseya Beirich Niyetz Hashem, that it's by Tseya Beirich, you bless the one that was by Tseya, the one that said, Ma Betza, really you're cursing Hashem. And the reason why it is so is because since Yehuda saw that his brothers are listening to him, because after he told them to sell Yosef, they listened to him and they sold Yosef, why didn't he tell them to take Yosef back to his father? So therefore, what Yehuda did is considered an Aveda, and anybody who blesses Yehuda is also doing an Aveda, is as if he's cursing Hashem. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho says, mitzvah litzaya. It's a mitzvah to make a pshara, to make a settlement. The first Tana we mentioned before didn't say it's a mitzvah, he didn't say it's an aveira. He just said that you have to have three people to make a settlement. After the din is over, then you already cannot make a settlement. But till then, it's a reshut. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho says, mitzvah litzaya. It's a mitzvah to make a settlement. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, emes u'mishpat sholem shiftu b'shareichem. Truth and mishpat, judgment, sholem and peace, should judge in your gate. So the question is asked, v'alai b'mokem sheyesh mishpat ein sholem. In a place where there is judgment, there is no peace. Because when you judge, then automatically one person is chayev and one person is potter. So there is no peace between them. U'b'mokem sheyesh sholem ein mishpat. And in a place where there is peace, there is no mishpat, there is no judgment. Hello, Izehu Mishpat Shiyash B'Sholem. What kind of judgment is there? That together with the judgment you have peace. Hava Oimezeh Bitzua. That is Bitzua, that is making a settlement, making a pshara. So since it says that this is a good thing, so therefore it's a mitzvah to do it. Chayim B'David Oimeh, we can see it says by David, Vahi David Oiseh Mishpat Zdoko, that David did Mishpat and Zdoko, judgment and righteousness. Alaykom Mokom Shiyash Mishpat and Zdoko, any place you have judgment, you don't have doke. In any place you have doke, you don't have judgment. Elo izel mishpat sheyesh bo doke. What is a judgment? It has doke with it. Have oimer zebitzua. That means a settlement. And therefore, David did bitzua, constantly tried to make settlement, because the pasuk says he made mishpat and doke. But then the Gemara says, awesome, Tanakame, how will this fit according to the Tanakame? According to the first Tana, who doesn't hold it's a mitzvah to make a pshara. What does he do with this pasuk where it says that it's called Mishpat Tzedaka? How else can he translate this pasuk? And if there is no other way to translate this pasuk, so obviously it means making a settlement, so then he should have held that it's a mitzvah to make a settlement. Since he doesn't hold it's a mitzvah to make a settlement, obviously he has another pshat in this pasuk. What is the other pshat? So the Gemara says, it means like this. Donis ha-din, when you judge the din, zikos ha-zakai, and the one that's innocent, you pass him that he's innocent. V'chiyev es-achayev, and the one that's guilty, you pass him that he's guilty. V'ro, and you saw, shenis-chayev onim-omen, that the poor man is obligated mechuyev to pay money. So what did he do? If you pay him from your own house, that is called mishpat and tzedakah. Mishpat lazeh, judgment for him, tzedakah lazeh, and righteousness for him. Mishpat lazeh, judgment for him, that he returned him the money that belongs to him. But tzedakah lazeh, you did tzedakah to the other one, that you paid him from your own house. But if the judge takes his own money and pays the one that lost, that is called tzedakah. You're doing him tzedakah. So this is what the pasuk would mean, that you should do mishpat and tzedakah. The chayim b'David hoymen, and that's like a shot by David. By he, David, oysa mishpat and tzedakah v'chol amoy, that David did mishpat and tzedakah to the whole nation, it means mishpat lazeh, it was judgment for him, shehichzid lo yismamayinai, that he returned him the money, with tzedakah lazeh, sheshilim lo yismamayinai, and the tzedakah to the other one, and he paid him from his house. Then the Gemara says, kashe le rebbe, rebbe de kashe, hai lechol amoy, here where it says, that David did mishpat and tzedakah lechol amoy to his whole nation, la'ni'imi boyali. It should have said to the poor people. He didn't do this to everybody. Only if he saw the one that lost the case was an oni, was a poor man, so he would pay him from his own money. So how could the Pasuk say that he did mishpat tzedakah l'chol lam to his whole nation? Ella, what does it mean? Afa pishaloi shilim etich beisai. There behold, that even if he didn't pay him from his own house, still zehu mishpat tzedakah. It's still called mishpat tzedakah. Even if one lost, and Hitaka doesn't get his money back, still it is called mishpat tzedakah. Mishpat lazeh or tzedakah lazeh. Mishpat to one and tzedakah to the other. Mishpat lazeh is a mishpat, a judgment to him, to the one that got the money, that he had his money returned to him. Tzedakah lazeh, tzedakah to the other one who lost the money, he took the gzeila away from his hands. Because if he wouldn't have given the money, he would have been holding the money unrightfully, by him paskening it. He has to give up the money, he's taking away the money that he wasn't holding rightfully from him. So he's doing him a favor. So that's why it's called that he's doing tzedakah to him. Rav Shimon Ben Atzion says, two people come to you for a din Torah, till you heard their kindness, their word. Oh, I feel even, you already heard what they have to say. But you still don't know to which side the din bends. You don't have the idea yet of who is right. Then you're allowed to tell them, so go out, ubitsu, and make some kind of settlement. But mishatish madivreyem, after you already heard their words, if you heard their tainas, and you already know in your mind to which side the din is bending. You seem to understand which one is right. You're not allowed to tell them, so ubitsu, go out, and make a pshara, make a settlement. Remember, because the pasuk says, poiter mayim, reishis modin. Which means that the beginning of a strife is one that lets out the water. And before the quarrel breaks out, leave it. So the way he explains it here, it means that reish is mudden in the beginning of the argument, then poitermayim, then you could patter it. Before you get into the discussion of the argument, then you could wrap it. Also, lifnei hizgal ha'ariv netoish. Koidim shen hizgal ha'ariv. Before the war quarrel, the argument breaks out, you could leave go of it. But when the argument breaks out already, then you can't leave it. And that's what he said, that before you heard their arguments and know who is right in your mind, then you're still allowed to tell them, go out and make a settlement. But after you already heard their arguments, and in your mind you know who is right, so then you're not allowed to drop it, you must pass on the deen. But Shlokish Omar, or according to another Girsa, where it says on the side of the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua Malokish, not Rabbi Shimon Malokish, but Rabbi Yeshua Malokish. Or another Girsa is Rabbi Yehuda Malokish. He said, Shnaim Shabo Ladin, if two people come to a din, Echod Rach Vechod Kosher, one is soft and one is hard, Achele Tishma Divreyem, till you hear their words, Oy Misha Tishma Divreyem, Viyati Yedea, Leichon Dinoite, or even after you heard their argument. But you still don't know to which side the din is bending. You could tell them, I don't want to get involved in this. Why? Maybe the hard one, the strong one, will be guilty. So then this guilty person who is strong will constantly make him trouble. So therefore, you could get away from it before you heard their arguments, or at least before you know who's right. But after you heard their words, and you know to which side the din is noite, you cannot say, I don't want to get involved in this. Shenamar the pasuk says, Lo yisaguru mipeish, do not be afraid of any man. Since you get involved already, now you can't say, I'm afraid. Now you must continue with the din Torah. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says, Menayin, how do we know? The Talmid, Sheyoshel is Niraboy, the Talmid is sitting in front of his Rebbe, V'ros, chus lo'oni v'choy v'lo'oshir, and he sees a chus for the benefit of the poor man, and something against the rich man. The din Torah is not by him. He just is sitting on the side, and he sees a din Torah in front of his Rebbe. And he sees a svara that he has in his mind that will be for the benefit of the poor man and against the rich man. And his Rebbe didn't think of that svara, and he sees that his Rebbe is going to paskin the din to the different direction. Minayin, how do we know shelo yishtog, he shouldn't be quiet? Shenema, because the pasuk says, lo yisaguru mipneish. And here he explains the word lo yisaguru from the meaning of gathering. Do not gather your words. Do not hold your words back in front of anybody. If you have words that will help somebody, you must say it. Reb Chanan Omer, Reb Chanan says, and this is a continuation to what we learned before, that what does it mean? Do not gather, hold in your words in front of anybody. And the mashal is takagoyres, that the word is supposed to be in the Gemara, v'omar Reb Chanan, and Reb Chanan said, this is a continuation to before. And in the Tesefteh, B'chol mentioned Reb Chanan's name. It says, L'chatchila, Reb Yeshua ben Korcha said, that if you see the schus for the oni and the chavi for the osher, how do you know you shouldn't be quiet? Shenema lo'isaguru mipnei ish, lo'isachnis v'recha mipnei ish. It goes straight together, that you should not gather, hold your words back in front of anybody. And also, v'yiyu eidim yoidin es mihem eidin. The eidim should know whom they're testifying for, because according to their testimony, that's how they're going to paskin. So they're going to cause Hashem to see that the money is brought back to its rightful owner. So they are testifying really for Hashem. The leaf named Mihay Midin. And they should know in front of whom are they standing. Umi Osid Liporamahen. And who is going to punish them if they are lying? Shinema, because the Pasuk says, that the two men that they are arguing, that the argument is by them, that they should stand in front of Hashem. And the Gemara in Mesich the Shvuah Daf Lamed explains that this pasuk is referring to the witness. And also, v'yiyu hadayonim yoydinus mihen donin, the dayonim, the judges should also know whom they're judging, v'lifne mihen donin, and in front of who are they judging, umi osid lipora mehen, who's going to punish them if they are not judging it correctly, shenema, because the pasuk says, v'lekim nitzav adaskel, Hashem is standing in the community of Hashem. That refers to a din taira, that Hashem is there. So therefore, whatever they're doing is concerning Hashem. Also says by Yeshafat, by Yoimer El Hashoftim, he said to the judges, oh, you should see, ma'atem oisim, what you're doing, ki loy la'odam tishpetu. You are not judging a person. Ki la'ashem, just Hashem. Hashem, Yoimer Adayin, if so, the judge might say, ma'ali b'tzar hazeh, why do I need this trouble? Why do I need this pain? Why should I get involved in paskening a din? I might not pasken it correctly, and then I will be punished by Hashem. So why should I get involved in this lechatchila? Talmud loymer, so therefore the pasuk says, imochem bat bar mishpat, and I am with you in the mishpat. This is also from Yehoshaphat. He said that with you in the mishpat, that means, ein loy le dayan, elamash ein avroyas. The dayan, the judge, only has what his eyes see. In other words, what he was saying is, imochem with you, the mishpat. When it comes to the mishpat, you have to judge what you have. If you judge based on the information you have and the investigation you did and the things that you know, so then you cannot be at fault even if it's wrong, because you did as the deen expects you to do. So therefore you have nothing to be afraid of, as long as you follow the tainus and the information, etc., that you have. Then the Gemara says, Hecha domi gmar din, what's pshat gmar din? We said before that after the gmar din, when the deen is over, so then the Tanakhama also says that you are not allowed to make a pshara, make a settlement. What does it mean, gmar din? Omer Rebbe Yehuda Marav, so Rebbe Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that ish ployni ato chayiv, that they say, you person are guilty, ish ployni ato zakin, you are innocent. Omer Rav said, Aloha kideb shuyo ben korcha. Aloha is rakib shuyo ben korcha, who said that it's a mitzvah to make a settlement. But the Gemara asks, ain't it is not so, for Rav Huna, Talmid of Rav Haver, Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. You have also the comment to Rav Huna, when people used to come forward and Torah to Rav Huna, Omer Lahu, he used to say to them, "E dina be'isu, e pshara be'isu. What do you want? Do you want I should paskin according to the deen, or do you want me to try to make a settlement?" Now, since Rav said, Aloha zakeb shu ben korcho, so Rav holds it's a mitzvah to make a settlement. Since Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, so definitely he did according to the opinion of Rav. So then what should have been, when they used to come to Adin Torah, he should have said, I will make a settlement. Why did he ask them whether they want a din or a settlement? So the Gemara says, my mitzvah named, come Rabbi Shuv and Korcha. What did Rabbi Shuv and Korcha mean when he said, it's a mitzvah to make a settlement? He didn't mean that you don't have to ask them. He meant, mitzvah l'meimelahu, it's a mitzvah to say to them, e dina b'isu, e pshara b'isu. Do you want a din? Do you want a settlement? In other words, it's a mitzvah to suggest to them to make a settlement. And that's actually what he did. But then the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakame, then it's the same opinion as Tanakame. The first Tana, who didn't say it's a mitzvah to make a settlement. On the other hand, he didn't say it's an issa to make a settlement. He just said, after Gmar Din, you're not allowed. But before Gmar Din, you're allowed. So according to the first Tana, it's a reshus. You could make a settlement if you want, and you don't have to if you don't want. So l'chura, it's the same thing as Reb Shua ben Korcha. Before we thought that when Reb Shua ben Korcha said it's a mitzvah to make a settlement, he meant that if they come to a din Torah, you have to say to them, I will make a settlement. But now that we're saying it means you have to ask them if they want you to, if not, not. So it's really a reshus, you don't really have to. So it's the same opinion as Tanakhama. What is the machloikis? And the Gemara answers, Ike benaye mitzvah. The difference in the machloikis is whether it's a mitzvah. Reb Shua ben Korcha, Sovar Reb Shua ben Korcha holds mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to mention to them that there is a possibility of a pshara. In other words, you must suggest to them that there is such a thing as a settlement and ask them if they want. Tanakama Sovar Reshut, Tanakama says it's a reshut, you don't have to. If you want, you can mention, but you don't have to. You could lechatchila only paskad al pi din, al pi Torah if you want. But then the Gemara asks, Hainu de Reb Shimon Manasseh. Isn't this the same opinion as Reb Shimon Manasseh? We brought before the statement of Reb Shimon Manasseh. He said that if two people come to you for a din, so before you hear their words, or even after you hear their words, and you still don't know, Leheichon din noite, you're allowed to say to them, go out and make a pshara, go out and make a settlement. Afterwards, if you already know where the din is noite, you're not allowed to say that. So it comes out that according to Reb Shimon Manasseh, you don't have to mention to them that there is a possibility of making a settlement. It just says that you're allowed to make a settlement if you want. Now, we said that according to the Tanakhama, it means that if you want, you can make a settlement, but you don't have to make a settlement. So it comes out that the Tanakhama and the Shimon Manasseh are really saying the same thing. The Gemara says, Iki Benaya, there is a difference. That in the case where you already heard their argument, and you already know to which side the din is noite, so you're not allowed to tell them, go out and make a pshara. According to the Shimon Manasseh, after that point, you're not allowed to make a pshara. But according to the Tanakhama, who says that after Gmar Din, you're not allowed to make a pshara, so it comes out, up to Gmar Din, you're still allowed to make a pshara. In other words, even after you already know, you're still allowed to make a pshara, according to the Tanakhama. Then the Gemara says, that all those that darshaned in the Gemara before, the posik of Beitzeya Beirech Nias Hashem, the way they did, they all argue on what Reb Tanchem Bar Chaniloi said. Because he darshaned the posik different. Omer Reb Tanchem Bar Chaniloi, Tanchem Bar Chaniloi said, Vaynema Mikrazel Keneged Maiseh Egel. This posik was only said concerning the act of the Egel, when they made the Egel. Shenema, because the posik says, Bayar Aron Aron So, Vayivim Mizbeach Lofonov. And he built a Mizbeach in front of him, in front of the Egel. So we darshan Maro, what did he see? Omar Rabbi Yomim Bar Yefes, Omar Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yomim Bar Yefes said in the name of Rabbi Lozer, Ro, he saw Chur, that was his nephew, he was the son of Miriam, Shezavuach Lofonov, that he was geshocht and he was killed in front of it. Chur tried to stop them from making the egel, and they killed him. So Omar, he said, Eli Shemayin Elohu, if I will not listen to them, they wanted him to make the egel. So he said to himself, Aaron, if I will not listen to him, and I will not make the Egel, Hashte Ovdu Li Kido Ovdu B'chur, so they will do to me as they did to Chur, they will kill me. Umekayim bi, so they will be Mekayim through me, the Posik, where it says, Im Yehoreg B'migdash Hashem Koyen V'Novi, that if in the Migdash of Hashem will be killed a Koyen and a Novi, so then V'loy Havalu Takante Loilam, they will never have a Takona, they will never be able to fix it. As actually happened later, that they killed Zechariah Ben Yehoda, who was a Kohen and a Novi, and therefore the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So that would happen too. They would kill Aaron. He was a Kohen. He was also a Novi. So then there would be no Takona. They wouldn't have the Mishkan. That would be even worse. So Mutav is better. Let them worship the Egel, which is only an Aveda B'Vajazorah, Efshe the Havilu Takanta V'Tshuva. Then there might be a Takona. They might fix it up through Tshuva. So that's how he dashes the posik vayar aron vayiven mizbeach lefonov, that he teaches mizbeach from the word zevach, and vayiven not from the word building, but vayiven from the word bina, understanding. that when Aaron saw what they did to Hur, by even he understood Miz Boyach Lefona, from the one that was killed in front of him, he understood what he should do. He understood that it's better that he should make the Egel than he should not listen to them. And that's the pshat in the Pasik. That Aaron made a pshara. He made like a cheshm between himself, and he came out with a heter that it's better for him to make the Egel than not to make the Egel. And Tosfos even adds that he also dashes the end of the Pasik. Because the end of the Pasik it says, Verabim heishim meyavim. That means that what he did was in order that the many people should be able to return from the Aveda. As we said before, that if he wouldn't have made the Egel, then they would have done something that there would be never a takone. So he did something, made the Egel, that they should have a takone, they should be able to do tshuva. Then the Gemara says, Tahani tanoi, poiter ma'im reishis modim, my darshibay, the other tanoim, that don't use this pasik, poiter ma'im reishis modim, like the Pshimim Menasye. What did they use the pasik for? The Pshimim Menasye, he used the pasik to tell us that only in the beginning, before you know, l'heichon adi noite, that's when you're allowed to make a pshoret. Afterward, you're not. But those that don't say it that way, those that don't hold that this pasik goes for that, what do they do with this pasik? So the Gemara says, Kedere Ravnune, they dash in the pasik like Ravnune said. Rav Nun said, "Ein tchilas dinei shel adam nidin el al divrei Torah." That when a person goes to Olam Haba, and he is judged by the Bez Nishomayla, the first judgment is concerning divrei Torah. And Emar, the pasuk says, "Poiter ma'im reishis modin." That reishis modin, the beginning of the din, is for poiter ma'im. Ma'im, water means Torah. As it says, that ein ma'im el Torah, water is Torah. They quote the pasuk, "Hoikotzama luchula ma'im." Poiter Mayim means he parted himself from the Mayim from the Torah. And that means he didn't learn Torah. So what we say is Poiter Mayim. For not learning Torah, Reishis Modin, that is the beginning of the Din. This is the first thing that they judge the person about when he comes in Olam Haba, the Maila to the Bez Nishomayla. But Tosfos asks that Lachura, this contradicts what the Gemara says in Shabbat. There the Gemara says that the first thing they ask a person is Nasasa v'nasata b'amunah. Did you do your business with Amunah? And then Kavaita itim la Torah. You set up time to learn Torah. And here it seems as if the first thing that they judge the person is concerning the Torah. And Tosfos answers that over there, we're talking about a person who learned Torah. But he didn't set aside enough time to learn. So there, the first thing they ask him is about his maso matan, his business, and then they go to the Torah. Here we're talking about a person who didn't learn at all. So if he didn't learn at all, the first thing they ask him is, poiter ma'im, why didn't you learn the Torah? Another pshat Tosfos says, that l'chatchila, the first thing they ask him is taki, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, concerning his business, whether he did his business with a munah. But when they punish him, when he gets his din, then he gets his din first on divrei Torah. And that's when he darshens the pasuk that tchilas giloy dinay b'mashenasim divrei Torah, that the first revelation, the first punishment on the din that he had is concerning the divrei Torah. But b'emes it could be said that both Gemaras really mean the same thing, because we know that when it comes to learn Torah, there is always a hakdama before you learn Torah. Before you start learning, you have to have the proper Yirah Shemayim. As the Gemara Taka says in Shabbos over there, that Reishis Chochma Yirah Hashem, that the first thing is Yirah Hashem, and the Gemara there says that Yirah Hashem Hi Yetzarei, that if a person has Yirah Shemayim before he starts learning, then his learning is a good thing. If he doesn't have Yirah Shemayim, then his learning is not that good. So it comes out that when we talk about learning Torah, we automatically already talk about him having the proper Yirah Shemayim, the proper approach to the learning Torah. And it is known that the reason why the Torah starts with the base, not with an aleph, is to tell us that when you come to learn the Torah, that's already the base, that's the second step. The first step before you actually learn is the inyan of Yirah Shemayim, the emunah that you have in Hashem, the emunah you have in the Torah. So you could say that Nasosav and Nesata b'emunah, when they ask him, did you do your business with the emunah? And then they say, Kavati itim the Torah, did you set aside time to learn Torah? These are not two separate things. It goes together. Because before they ask him about learning Torah, they ask him about the hakdama to learn Torah. Did you do everything with emunah? Do you have the proper emunah? So then when you sat down to learn Torah, your Torah was proper. So here the Gemara just says the general idea. The general thing is that the first thing that they judge the person is concerning learning. Over there they go into more details. And within the details, the learning itself comes as a second step after the emunah, because in order to learn properly, you must have the emunah. And therefore, there it says, first they ask him the sosav and the satav emunah, and then they mention the learning of Torah. Then the Gemara says, Omer Rav Huna said, Hai tigre, that an argument is dam yelitzinure de bitke de maye. it is like the pipe of a flow of water. Kivin, the ravach ravach. It gets wider, it gets even wider when you can't stop it. If the river overflows and it starts going through small areas into the field, so if you stop it right away, you'll stop it. But if you don't stop it and you let it go, it'll go and go without a stop and it'll overflow everything. And the same with some arguments. If you stop the argument in the beginning, then it stops. But if you don't stop it in the beginning, it could go on and on without an end. And he darshan this from the pasuk reishis poiter mayim reishis modin. It means that reishis modin, the beginning of an argument, is similar to poiter mayim, is when you open up the water. Poiter comes from the word peterechen, which means opening. That when you open up water, it could continue without an end. So too, when you start an argument, it could go out on without an end. Then the Gemara says, Abaye Kashisha, the older Abaye, and the reason they called him Abaye Kashisha, we shouldn't confuse him with the famous Abaye that always used to argue with Rove, but this is a different Abaye. So they called him Abaye Kashisha. Omar, he said, Domi Legude de Gamlo, that an argument is similar to pieces of wood from a bridge. Kivim, the kom-kom, when it stands, and it's established, it's established. Lechatchila, when you have the pieces of wood from the bridge, so then it is shaky. But after you walk on it a lot, and the time passes, it gets set in, and it gets settled, and it gets hard, and that's how it stays. The same thing with an argument. The chatchila, it's not so strong, but if you continue and go on and on, it'll get settled, it'll stay, and the argument will go on and on. And Rashi says that this is just a saying by itself, and he doesn't darshan it from a posik. But Tosfos says that he does darshan it from the same posik, poiter mayim, reishis modin. At poiter mayim, this refers to the wood from the bridge, which stops the person from the water, that he shouldn't fall into the water. That's called poiter mayim, reishis modin, is the beginning of an argument. That when you start an argument, it's similar to when you build the wood on the bridge. As a chatchila, it's not so strong, but after a while it gets strong, and that's how it stays. So too with an argument, if you don't stop it right away, it'll go on, and it won't stop.